Let us bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace with hearts of thanksgiving, thanking you for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the salvation that we have in him. We thank you, too, for the privilege and the blessing we have to be gathered here tonight in fellowship one with another, especially as we gather together through this medium for the study of your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, we'll receive the word as the word of God and not as the words of men. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the attitude we'll have is, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. And we ask these things with prayer and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You know, as mid-Acts dispensationalists, we're often accused of doing away with the reading and study of the Old Testament, Pauline epistles. And because we put such emphasis on the Pauline epistles, people, right or wrongly, take that to mean that we're excluding other portions of God's word as being no value to us. Nothing could be further from it. In fact, when you truly consider rightly dividing the word of truth, when you consider dispensationalism, redividing the truth of the Old Testament, essential to our study, understanding, and for us to be established in the faith. That testament is essential to the believer under grace, is indicated by at least three groups of passages in Paul's writing that I want to draw your attention to. The first group is in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. There Paul writes, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And now notice in verse 2, he says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. And that verse there is what I want you to take note of. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now, again, that the Old Testament is an essential to our study and understanding of the Scriptures and to our being established, these verses make that abundantly clear. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And he identifies the gospel of God as the preaching, or rather concerning, God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, but again, the Lord Jesus Christ says he was separated unto the God of God. And that verse 2, that parenthesis, is where it is demonstrated how the Old Testament is an essential to our study and understanding, and being established, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, what I say about that is, I learned to say on the basis of the passage, because many people stumble over this passage, and I mean in terms of grace belief, mid-Acts dispensationalists sometimes stumble over this passage. What this passage, but Paul preached the Christ of prophecy. But in Romans 16:25, he preached the Christ of prophecy, but he did not preach Christ according to prophecy, but rather he preached Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And that's important. But there is a definite connection, an indispensable connection, between Paul's preaching of Christ and action is rooted and grounded in the Old Testament. He preached according to the revelation of the mystery. The Christ he preached is the Christ of prophecy. That's important. And again, we'll see further. But that the Old Testament is essential to you and I dispensation to our preaching of Christ today is the question. Look again at Romans 4, 23 through 25, and we'll see that idea. Romans 4, 23 through 25, of the necessity of the Old Testament to understanding God's truths today in the dispensation of grace. Right vision does not exclude the Old Testament, but rather makes the Old Testament an essential to our study and understanding of even our history and message today. We'll talk more about that, but look at Romans 4, 23-25. Now, it was not written for sake alone of Abraham's. Romans 4, you're talking about what we learned, what Abraham, our father, had done as meaning to the future. Talking about the of Abraham. In verse 23, it says, now it was not written for his sake alone. That is of written for sake alone would be a reference to, quote, the Testament. Okay, the Old Testament scripture. That is imputed to him. It wasn't written for Abraham's sake alone, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And again, the idea behind these passages is this. We preach the Christ of prophecy. In other words, the Christ that is at the heart of our message, the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God, the Christ that is the heart of that message is the Christ of prophecy. Being that the Old Testament is clearly established as being the Word of God, as being divinely inspired, and the prophecies that are set forth in the Old Testament that concerns the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ that Paul preached, you can see the importance of acknowledging that the Christ that Paul is preaching, though fundamentally and radically presented differently than what you find in the Law of the Prophets and the Psalm, is nonetheless the same Christ. Remember, Paul is preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Paul is preaching Christ in the light of some revelation, the light of some information from God, in the light of some communication from God that was kept hid, but now made manifest, but now made known to and through the Apostle Paul. And it is an entirely new and different portrait or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ than what we would gather from from the Law, the Prophet, and the Psalms. Hence, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, Paul says this: "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." There's a presentation of Christ in the light of the mystery that is fundamentally and radically different from the preaching of Christ according to prophecy. Yet, this Christ is not to be assumed to be something new and entirely separate or distinct from the Christ of prophecy, but rather the same Christ. And that's important to you and I in our faith, because without that connection, we would be without a foundation. Okay? Remember in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that point, the foundation can be laid that way, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. And because that is true, that make the test an integral part of our studying and understanding of the Word of God. It makes it indispensable. So, rightly dividing the Word of truth, or preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, does not exclude the Old Testament by no means. And that's the point I really want to stress and drive home. Let's look at another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. Now, these passages that we're looking at, and in fact, if you go back to the book of Acts, you'll see Paul say a lot of things with regards to the Old Testament scriptures. In fact, he would say, I preach none other thing than that which the prophets have prophesied. And people draw the conclusion that how then can we argue that the gospel Paul preached is separate and distinct from that of the 12? You know, people argue and make the argument there's but one gospel. And that, and the other argument is that Peter and Paul preached the same gospel. And there's a number of passages that they would refer to in the book of Acts, in Paul's writing, that would seem to suggest that Peter and Paul preached the same gospel, that there's but one gospel. But again, I submit to you, that Paul makes it abundantly clear that his preaching of Christ is fundamentally and radically different from the preaching of Christ in the Gospels, or the preaching of Christ by the 12. What is that difference? The 12 preached him according to prophecy. Paul preached the same Christ of prophecy, but according to the revelation of the mystery. And there is a difference. To preach Christ according to prophecy is to preach Christ according to that which God has made known from the foundation of the world. To preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery is to preach Christ in the light of information that God had kept secret since the world began. And it results in an entirely new and distinct picture or portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ that, again, is different. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:16, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. You see, we preach Christ, Paul preached Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And an entirely new and different presentation of Christ. That's the point. Okay? But that is not one, two things, two ideas. One is not an exclusion of the Old Testament, nor is it an admission that the gospel Paul preached and the 12 preached are identical. What you want to remember when you talk about the gospel of God is that that is a broad term, that's an umbrella term, that's an interdisciplinary, that's what I'm looking for. I was looking for the right expression. The term the gospel of God is interdispensational. And Peter preached the gospel of God and Paul preached the gospel of God. But what we mean by that is that they preach Christ. That's all we mean. When you say that Paul preached the gospel of God and Peter preached the gospel of God, it is not sufficient to argue that they preach the same gospel. Can you say they preach the same gospel? Yes, in that they preach the same Christ. Can you say they preach different gospel? Yes, in that Peter presented Christ according to prophecy, according to the law, the prophets, and the psalm, according to that which was made known since the world began, and Paul preached Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, according to that which was kept secret since the world began. So, yes and no. The gospel of God is Peter's preaching and Paul's preaching. But when you want to know the different gospels that they preach, they tell you Peter preached the gospel of the kingdom. Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. At the heart of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is the preaching of Christ. At the heart of the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God is the preaching of Christ. But they are different gospels. Like Galatians 2, the gospel of the Old Testament references frequent use of the Old Testament. By the way, it again is not a denial of the uniqueness and the distinctiveness of the gospel which he preached. You know, we read Galatians 1:23. He now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And so they argue, see, he preached the same gospel. No. He preached the same Christ. He preached the Christ of prophecy, but he did not preach Christ according to prophecy. Okay. Now, there's a group, the Acts 28ers, that argue that Paul's Acts ministry is the subject of prophecy. Nothing further from the truth. Paul's Acts ministry is not object of prophecy. Paul's ministry, beginning to end, is the subject of the mystery. Because it's this frequent and regular use of the Old Testament, the 28ers, to argue the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the mystery, therefore, did not end until Acts 28. You know, Acts 20. No. What Paul's doing is demonstrating the Christ he is preaching unto the revelation of the mystery is Christ of prophecy, but not preaching Christ according to prophecy. And the gatefold idea, this wholeness of two different bodies of Christ. There's one body of Christ, but one mystery from the beginning to the end. And that is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul had but one ministry from beginning to end to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That was his ministry. That was his calling. And use of the Old Testament is demonstrating that the Christ he is preaching, the light of the mystery, is the Christ of prophecy. He's not Christ according to prophecy. I know it might sound like I'm redundant. To say this one over, I think is very important. I'm going to move on. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Again, here's an indication of the necessity of the Old Testament to our study and understanding being established. 1 Corinthians 10, 6. Now, these things were our present-day people that I was writing to, making reference back to the Old Testament scriptures. He said, these things are our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, that sat down, eat and drink, and role play. Neither us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in day 23,000. Neither let us Christ, as some also did, and were destroyed of the serpent. Then murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of destroyer. Now notice again, verse 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon the ends of the world to come. You see the value and importance of the necessity of the Old Testament to you and I as verse. Go back to Romans 1:6, reference. You see, our faith in Christ. And our faith, our acknowledgement of Paul's apostleship, ministry, and message is based on the Christ of prophecy, calling, making Paul an apostle. You remember how he started out? Paul, a servant of God, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You see, our faith in Christ is because we see in Christ. We see in Christ, we see in Him, the fulfillment of the law, the prophet, and the Psalms. And this is what gives great value and great importance to Paul's preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Okay? Remember John 5:39. Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Again, the idea here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 through 11. Think about this. Our experience with God is not demonstrative. It is not experiential. It is not experience-based. We don't have the burning bush experience. We don't have the Exodus experience. We don't have the Elijah experience. Our experience with God is not demonstrative. It is not experience-based. And that's where the importance of the and the necessity of the Old Testament becomes for you and I. That's what 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 through 11 is demonstrating. It holds for us a wealth of experience to learn from. The Old Testament holds for us a wealth of experience to learn from. Look at Romans 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things was written aforetime were written for what? Our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We are a people of a book. God has designed it. God has fixed it that way. From beginning to end, God's, think of this idea here for a moment. You think about the Jew, the Orthodox Jew, and their rejection of the New Testament canon, Matthew the Revelation. And for them, and have any sense complete, there is no completeness with simply the Old Testament, whether you're talking about the Hebrew books of the Old Testament, 24, or whether you can weigh the Gentile counts the Old Testament as 39. Either or, there. Okay, but whether you look at Old Testament as 4 books, 39 books, thinking of those books as being in and of themselves, nothing could further from the law and the prophets. The law without it to come, the prophets prophesied of to come. Being there's, you know, it is demonstrated in the Old Testament Scripture, God was writing a book. He was compelling a book that would, he was recording in a book the events. And that is not complete until the eternal purpose of God set forth in writing. Now, it is Paul's epistles and Paul's writings particularly that completes divine revelation. Okay? It is Paul's writings complete divine revelation. But it is the total composition of those 27 books of the New Testament that brings a completion to the Old Testament. In other words, having the 39 books, having the 27 book, we can say definitively the Word of God is complete. And in that, God has shut up the written revelation essence for learning. You understand, experience-based relationship with God. When I say experience-based, I'm not the burn bush experience. I'm talking about the divine dimension. God divine was not for man to be man on the basis of signs, miracles, and wonder, a way of committing and making self known. Because when he delivered Israel from Egypt, again, he commanded Moses to read these things in the book and do what to rehearse in the ears of the people and teach them children, their children, from generation to the next. Why? Because their learning that was not going to be on a daily experience of this relationship with God. Just opposite. And they would have those scriptures by which they would learn the things that God wanted them to know and understand. And it is so with us as well in the dispensation of grace. God having established the dispensation of grace through signs, miracles, and wonders, did not intend for signs, miracles, and wonders to be the norm throughout the course of this dispensation, but rather his written word. And we have his word and his message to us and about us that he expects us to read and to study and learn. Paul said it again, whatsoever things was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience but comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It is the word of God. The psalmist said it this way, remember thy word, O Lord. Psalms 119 and 49. Remember the word, O Lord, unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That's like 2 Timothy 3, where Paul says over there, and that you have known the Holy Scriptures from a child, which has made thee wise unto salvation. Not an experience-based relationship with God, but rather a relationship, a learning from the Scriptures. And that is more true of you and I today in the dispensation of grace than for any of the other people of God. Our experience with God is not demonstrative. It is not experience-based. Our experience with God is faith-based. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we by faith and not by sight. And so the Old Testament holds for us a wealth of spirits to learn from. Okay. God's eternal purpose. You take Paul's epistles and talks about preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. When we're talking about Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, we learn Paul God designed for reclaiming the governmental authority in the heavenly places back unto himself. Okay, but without the understanding, without the testament, the God's designed for the governmental authority of the earth back unto himself, and the governmental authority of heavenly places back unto himself, both are essential and necessary. Our understanding of the eternal purpose. Okay, this is the problem with just simply thinking of the Old Testament as being complete in and of itself, or to see that, or to think of Paul's apostleship ministry and message as simply being a continuation of the apostleship ministry in the 12, that you don't have the basis or the foundation for rightly dividing the word of truth. It is with the Old Testament and God's prophetic purpose, contrasted with the mystery purpose, that is the essence of rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, the prophet of the Bible as a whole, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But when it comes to studying the Old Testament, what you cannot do is you cannot interpret the doctrine in the Old Testament to the church, the body of Christ. The doctrine set forth in the Old Testament is to be interpreted to to Israel, you know, concerning to God's prophetic program. God didn't turn away from his purpose for the earth and spiritualize that purpose, and having spiritualized that purpose, that none of the things that was written in the Law, the Prophet, and the Psalm will come to pass. By no means. Those things that are written will come to pass. And the dispensation of the grace of God doesn't concern God's plans for the earth, but rather God's design and plans for the heavenly places. Okay? So again, being shut up to Paul's epistle, when we say Romans to Philemon, it's where we find God's word to us and about us, does not exclude you from the Old Testament scriptures. However, you will not find in the Old Testament scriptures any information about the world you and I live in today. We live in a world that has been reconciled unto God. And nowhere in the Law, the Prophet, or the Psalms in the Old Testament do you read about the world that you and I live in today. Okay? Or he wished known today. When you study the Old Testament, the world that the Old Testament presents to us is fundamentally and radically different from the world that you and I live in. But some of that is not an exclusion of the Old Testament. Make the Old Testament of value, not make it irrelevant. It's very relevant. It is very essential. You don't find information that is interpreted to us, about us, as the church. In other words, the church, which is the body of Christ, is not the subject of the Old Testament. The church, which is the body of Christ, is the subject of the mystery. New Russian. Okay. So our study of the Old Testament enriches our study and understanding altogether the Bible. Our faith in the things we are given to believe in by Paul are strengthened by our study of the Old Testament. Because of Testament and its fulfillment in Christ, we can with great hope be steadfast in the hope of the gospel to us today in the dispensation of grace. Well, one of the approaches I use, and you have to make the statement and then substantiate your statement, but is to take the Gospels and say, what's going on in the Gospels? And you take Romans 15:8 and you explain what's going on in the Gospels. And then you take Paul's epistles, Romans to Philemon, and you ask the question, what's going on here in the Gospels? I mean, in Paul's epistles. It is the preaching, or it's making known the mystery, or it's the preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. In the gospel, you're dealing with the subject of prophecy and the fulfillment of prophecy. In Paul's epistles, you're no longer dealing with the subject of prophecy and its fulfillment, but rather you're dealing with the presentation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And I take that and expound on that further. But making that great contrast between the Gospels and Paul's epistles. And I tell people all the time, there's no way you can read the Gospels and believe you're reading about the same world or the same condition that you're reading about in Romans to Philemon. There's just no way you can read the Gospels and conclude that you're reading about the same conditions. And because we're not reading about the same conditions, and that there is such a fundamental and radical change between what is presented in the Gospels and what is presented in Paul's epistles, you can't help but acknowledge the difference. And you just and what you do is you just build and build and build that idea. And then you use the book of Acts to bridge that gap, to show and to demonstrate that you're moving away from the issue of the fulfillment of prophecy to God making known the mystery. And that in and of itself argues for difference. that you cannot argue that the same thing or the same conditions exist in the Gospels as in Paul's epistles. If one would get the idea that the gospel of God is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of God's good news is centered in Christ. John 5:39, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The fulfillment of the Abrahamic promise is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the scripture says Abraham had the gospel preached unto him. But that gospel is clearly defined, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, the gospel that is preached to you and I today is not, the contents of it is not the same as the gospel that was preached to Abraham. And yet, the fulfillment of the gospel to Abraham and the fulfillment of the gospel to you and I, at the heart of it, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the term gospel, and people sometimes make a technical definition out of it, but the term gospel is not a technical term. It is a term that has to be defined by its context. And so wherever you see the word gospel, it just simply means good news. But the content of that good news, what that good news is, you have to discern that from the context.